If you love old garden roses and heritage varieties of roses, then you're going to love today's show. Peggy Martin joins us. She's with the Heritage Rose Foundation, and I can't wait to hear what she has to say. Stay with us. The Rose Chat Podcast starts now.
It's time for the Rose Chat Podcast, a podcast dedicated to celebrating the world's most beloved flower, the rose. Join award-winning gardeners Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington as they chat with rose lovers and experts from around the globe. With each episode, you'll gain valuable knowledge and insights to achieve the rose garden you've always dreamed of. Listen now as we explore the world of roses.
Rose Chat Radio is a proud media sponsor of the American Rose Society's Fall National Convention, taking place September 10th to the 13th in Syracuse, New York. Michael Marriott, Alon Mayon, Will Radler, and Thomas Prohl will be speaking, and the country's preeminent rose exhibitors will compete for top honors. There's something for all lovers of roses at the ARS Fall National Convention. Register soon at newyorkroses.org. Your friends at Rose Chat Radio will love to see you there.
Try Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing generations of gardeners with a truly all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers with their line of composted manure and alfalfa teas. Easy to brew and use on all indoor and outdoor plants. Find them online at manuretea.com.
Peggy Martin is in the virtual studio to chat with us about the incredible work happening through the Heritage Rose Foundation. Welcome to Rose Chat, Peggy.
Thank you, Teresa. It's an honor to be here.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you. So how are things going in your garden this summer?
Very, very well. Lots of rain, but really very great growth. Roses are doing beautifully, even though it's so much rain. They just love it, and a lot of electrical activity, which means more nitrogen in the rain. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that phenomenon, but you are. Nitrogen is a gas in the air, and as the electrical activity and lightning occur, it becomes a liquid and comes down in the rain and just fertilizes everything terrifically. So things are so forest dark green and beautiful and big and blooming that it's wonderful, wonderful.
I've never heard that.
Ah.
Learn something new on Rose Chat every time.
Every time. Well, we're getting that rain that you're getting, too, here in the Midwest. I tell you, my garden has begun to look like a tropical rainforest. I went out to look at the roses, and today we got so much rain, the heads were just dropping, but they're big and they're luscious, and they're just soaking up all this rain.
Absolutely. It's very good for them, and it keeps the gardener from having to water. It's a win-win situation.
No, it sure is. Thank you. Today we want to share with our listeners all about the Heritage Rose Foundation. And for those who are not familiar, what is the Heritage Rose Foundation?
We are a nonprofit organization that was established quite some years ago, and have been in existence helping to preserve all roses, rose lovers, rose rustlers, people who are interested in preserving all these historic beauties, work together, and we're all volunteers, the officers and so forth, and we are international. We have quite a few people that help us, that are with us and help in foreign countries. Etienne Barre is in France, and Missouri Usai is in Italy, Pat Doolin on Australia. Just numerous amounts of very, very well-known rose people helping us to preserve roses all over and all different gardens
across
the United States and in Europe.
Well, I have in my hand right now a copy of Rosamundi, your publication, and it reads like a who's who of roses all over the world. There's articles about, just as you say, in most countries. Tell us a little bit about this publication.
This publication has been going on since 2005 when a group got together, actually in California, Greg Lowry and Jean Veith and Jean Lewis. And they do all of the editing and the photography and brought this thing to fruition here. And it was actually in the autumn of 2005. But it's a glossy, beautiful publication with gorgeous pictures, lots of information, lots of articles. And as you said, so many from all over the world. It's a beautiful thing. People very, very well enjoy it and look forward to it. So anyone that joins us will get that O Rose Survivors, the one that's in your hand right now, which is about 123 pages. Plus, they'll get a double whammy because I am working on the next issue, which should be going to the printers possibly next week, and they will get that issue also mailed to them if they join with us.
Now, how would someone join?
You go online to heritagerosefoundation.org, all lowercase, and it has all the information there, and it does have extra issues, the older issues that you can buy individually. There is the place to join. It has some of our past events and conferences. As you know, I think we talked, I had the big conference in New Orleans in the French Quarter last November, which was fantastic. Great attendance, sold out, and everyone had a great time.
I was so jealous. I was so jealous that everyone was in your garden except me, or at least it felt like it. Well, Chris wasn't there either, but the who's who of Rose World was in your garden on what was a little bit of a cool day, as I recall. So, honestly, I was just going, oh, why am I not there?
Everything went beautiful, even though it was very cold and unprecedented in a way, and good thing that we had warning of it so we could warn the people coming from Bermuda and other places that to bring the mittens and the earmuffs and warm clothes.
Not what you're expecting to do in Louisiana.
Exactly.
Now, let's go back just a minute to the old survivors, Rosa Monday, that I'm looking at. In there is the story of Peggy Martin. And for those listening that don't know the story of Peggy Martin and the Peggy Martin Rose, could you bring us up to date on just what that entails?
Yes. 2005, of course, Hurricane Katrina. What a devastation. Garden that I had. 450 antique roses alone, thousands of other plants, house, garden, vehicles. But the most tragic part was my mother and father that lived next door to us. They did not want to evacuate. They stayed, and they both perished. So it was absolutely horrific, horrific happening in my life. One thing came of it that is the Peggy Martin Rose. Out of all those dead roses and flowers and shrubs and trees denuded and just dead like Hiroshima, there's this one tall, green, arching rose still on the shed, dark green canes living. Nothing else survived. And I said, as I first went back, was able to go back about 3.5 weeks after when they cleared the roads, walking through past my mom and dad's house, going to my house to see if anything at all could be salvaged. And I look up and I see this thing is living. I say to myself, dear God, how did this survive? It's still such a mystery, and it's still so much of a, I can't quite bring the words to. It's a wonderful thing that was left to me after all
Absolutely.
Of the other loss. And it's paved a path for me to walk, to teach, to talk, to go all over, to travel everywhere, all over from one end of the United States to the other, and to Bermuda, to bring the story of the rose, but also to bring the story of all these gorgeous historical roses that we want to preserve.
Mm-hmm.
Just think of in Louisiana area and the Mississippi Gulf Coast that's totally destroyed, how many roses and other flowers, everything totally, totally gone and lost. It's just this one miracle that this rose survived for a reason. For a reason. So the story is in there, in this particular issue of Rosamundi. And it's got a memorial to my parents in there also. It's just
a beautiful picture.
Yeah. Well, that was when they were engaged, right before they were married.
And how long were they married?
63 years.
Oh, okay. I knew it was
63. Yeah. Adored each other to the end.
Well, for our listeners, Peggy tells the complete story of the Peggy Martin Rose on a previous podcast, so you can look for that and to get to hear the rest of her story. But Peggy, something new is happening with the Peggy Martin Rose that you were telling us about, so share that with our listeners.
Yes, there is a movement. I was asked if I would agree to use the Peggy Martin Rose as a symbol of survival for the breast cancer survivors, and I am so proud to be involved in that. There is a nursery in New Orleans who has started doing cuttings, and this is in addition to all of the other nurseries that are selling the Peggy Martin Rose and have been for the Restoration Fund since Hurricane Katrina. But this particular movement should be a wonderful help to the breast cancer survivor funds and just a symbol of hope and renewal. If this thing can survive those terrible, terrible circumstances and live and be beautiful and everyone love it that you hear from, everyone gives you the joy that they experience when they grow this rose, and that transferred to a symbol of survival and renewal and hope for cancer survivors.
Well, that is just wonderful. It's a beautiful rose. It's a sweet rose, and it is a survivor. Even in my garden, we got very cold last winter, and Peggy Martin just survived and is, as I look out my window, blooming today. So, and every time I look at that rose, I think of your sweet self, and I am so grateful to have it in my garden. And to all those who think all hope is lost, just to have a beautiful symbol, nothing I can think of would be better than the Peggy Martin Rose. So I am so excited about this. Now, you said that, you know, because of this one rose, it certainly brought hope back into your life, and you've been able to share that. So tell us where you're going to be sharing that story. Tell us about your upcoming events.
I have a large Master Gardeners conference. That's September 18th in Slidell, Louisiana. They're going to have other speakers also, but it is supposed to be about 300 people or so. Looking forward to that. And then October 17th, I'll be going to Boston. They have a 75th Rose anniversary for the societies up there, and I will be the guest speaker up there at that time. So I'm really looking forward to that also.
That sounds just great. So if you're in the neighborhood, please attend these functions. You'll get to see the sweet Peggy Martin and hear her story. Something's going to be going on at the Antique Rose Emporium this year. Is that where your convention's going to be?
Correct.
The Rose Emporium? Okay.
Yes, Antique Rose Emporium in Brenham, Texas. We will have in conjunction with his usual fall festival where there are free speakers. It's completely free all 3 days. It's Saturday, Sunday, I'm sorry, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and that's November 7th, 8th, and 9th. So the Heritage Rose Foundation has once a year a large conference in our board meeting and membership meeting, and we're going to have it at the same time, probably on the Sunday, after mm-hmm. the other speakers, rose speakers, and many, many different bulbs, perennials, all these different types of plants. It's a great get-together, and it's a beautiful venue to have this at because all of these gorgeous antique roses are planted all through the property and the nursery with companion plants, and just a gorgeous experience for people to see them and, of course, buy the roses there when they are there. But we will have our conference, and as I said, our membership meeting and our board meeting there. So I'm looking forward to it. It should be a great, great event.
Oh, it sounds like it. And every time I hear of the Antique Rose Emporium, I think of the Rose Rustlers. I don't know if they were the first, but they were the first that I read about. People who go out in the cemeteries and the bushes and see what they can find and then start the identification process, which always just sounded like so much fun to me. Is it fun, Peggy? I'm sure you've been out doing it.
Yes, I have to admit that I have for many years. Of course, I've been gardening for 45, but it's something that you bring up that reminds me to tell you that this new issue that I'm working on is about very early pioneers of rose rustling, even before the Texas Rose Rustlers. Very early, some people that most of you have not heard about, but all across the country, these dedicated people. And so their stories and pictures of the roses will be in this particular issue of the Rosamundi coming out next.
Ooh, that's exciting. Now, I don't know if he would have been one of the early rose rustlers that you're talking of, but one of the people in Rosedom that I've loved to read about was Francis E. Lester, and I know that when he came from England to California, he did a little rustling in the hills to put together what we now know as roses of yesterday and today. And so it's those old stories, don't you just love them? It just endears you to people and to the plants, and you know, it's not just one facet. Roses just have stories and they're people, and it's so multifaceted. It just gets into your soul, I think.
Absolutely, absolutely. Heartwarming. Interesting that what people went through to preserve these, and maybe they only had one as they crossed the country in a covered wagon, but it survived, and they planted it there, and it lives, some of them still going on. It's just astronomically a wonderful thing that they have been preserved all these years to show their tenacity, their strength, why they are so important and why they have survived. And if they have survived these harsh, harsh conditions, then think what they will do in your garden with love and care.
Oh, absolutely. Well said, Peggy. And don't you just love that? You know, something that has so much meaning for so many through the years. When I look at the old roses in my garden, you know, I think about the people who grew them before, and I don't know, you just feel a kinship to them. So it's very special.
Exactly.
I can't wait to read what you've written. This is exciting.
Well, hopefully, yes. I'm looking forward to it being produced. It's my first trial at the editor and working with it and having it printed here in Louisiana. And I'm really proud. I'm looking forward to what we will produce.
Oh, you let us know when it's ready, because we definitely want a copy. Now, I noticed that even in 2016, you've made some plans to be at the Huntington Garden with your convention. And I had the pleasure of being there this past year, and what a beautiful garden that is. And Tom Carruth was with us a few weeks ago on Rose Chat and talking about the Huntington Garden, so that'll be a special time for sure.
Absolutely. It should be a spectacular conference up there with so many gorgeous roses and just the whole entire Huntington Garden in with our conference and membership meeting it should be a fantastic event. I'm looking forward to it. And hopefully
Absolutely.
The year after, we're tentatively thinking of Richmond, Virginia, where there's a Hollywood
mm-hmm.
cemetery with a lot of old roses there. I'm looking forward to that also. So we're trying to pick some really interesting locations to have the conference. And it's worked very, very well the past years. They have done terrifically well.
Well, Peggy, we talked about you're having people to your garden last year. And why do you think it's important for us to have people in our gardens?
I think to teach,
mm-hmm.
to show them what they can grow, to show them the roses, to give them the history of it, to see how
mm-hmm.
beautiful they can grow, how old they are. They're from the 1800s or so.
Mm-hmm.
How easy they are to grow. And I'm an organic gardener, so I also get to promote that, to show
mm-hmm.
them exactly in teaching beds that I have where I use newspapers and then put over straw, pine straw, or leaves or whatever, just totally organic ways to manage the garden. And I do teach master gardeners classes on roses,
mm-hmm.
and I use those beds, too, to show what you do to help decrease any of your chores. Of course,
mm-hmm.
being old roses, want to promote that you never have to spray. You never have to use chemicals or any kind of harsh fungicides or anything. They grow beautifully without it. And it's so
mm-hmm.
helpful. It's so helpful
mm-hmm.
for you, your children, your grandchildren, your pets. It's just the way to go. And these roses can be grown like that because they're so hardy and healthy. It's just a win-win situation all the way around.
It sure is. And education is such a big part of it. You know, Chris and I travel around talking about roses, and we meet people all the time that, you know, have tried some roses and lost the battle of disease and pest, and so they've kind of given up. And we love getting to tell them that, you know, that doesn't have to be the case. There's many beautiful, beautiful roses out there for any size patio or garden or yard that you have. There's something for everyone. It doesn't have to be all about chemicals if that is a concern or what have you. So there is education to be done, I think.
Absolutely. And we try to reach as many young people as we can to show them that you can have a beautiful rose garden and you don't need all the maintenance. You don't have to worry about the maintenance. You don't have to worry about these young people are so environmentally knowledgeable also. They do not
mm-hmm.
want to use chemicals. And to show them that you can have this. Both people, usually both the husband and the wife, work. They don't have time for
mm-hmm.
a lot of maintenance. And this is what we're trying to publicize, educate, and get the word out to everyone that
mm-hmm.
you can have these beautiful old roses, and it doesn't take so much work. They mostly
mm-hmm.
take care of themselves. Once they're established, they can take whatever you throw at them.
That is so true. Well, Peggy, our time is coming to a close, but it has been a delight to have you once again. And we thank you for the work that you do. We thank that you're out there educating and teaching. And congratulations on this breast cancer survivor rose that you're going to have a part of. This is so wonderful, and we're just very proud of you.
Well, thank you, Teresa, very, very much. I've enjoyed our talk. And we would wish to remind people, if they will, go to the website, Heritage Rose Foundation. .org, and they will find the newsletters, the previous newsletters that are free, and just so much information. I would love them to check us out.
Well, friends, we've come to the end of another broadcast of the Rose Chat Podcast. I want to thank you for listening today. Now, we placed a link to the Heritage Rose Foundation on today's show page. I hope you'll go there and check out the wonderful work being done by this organization. Until next time, happy gardening from your friends at Rose Chat.
You've been listening to the Rose Chat Podcast with Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington, expert rose gardeners who want to help you achieve the rose garden of your dreams. Don't miss an episode. Listen anytime on our website at rosechatpodcast.com or listen on the go via the Rose Chat app on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Share this podcast with your social networks and join us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by using the hashtag RoseChat. Join us next time for another edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. The Rose Chat Podcast is a production of the Rose Chat Media Group, Birmingham, Alabama.